Hey, good morning, everybody. We're back again with a second hour of the Outdoors and Radio Show. We're going to change up quite a bit here from the first hour of guns and that type of stuff. We're going to talk to Alan Klotz, who's the Western Region 1 Inland Fisheries Manager. That's a big, long title. So it is. Good morning, Alan. How you doing? Hello, Alan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good. You've been with us before on the Outdoors and Radio Show?
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. And we've talked about Deep Creek, but it looks like 2014 is quite a year at Deep Creek.
Yes, yes. We did some sampling earlier in June, and I've been working on Deep Creek Lake for 26 years, and I think I was more impressed this year than I have been any of my previous years.
I love it up there. I mean, I don't get to go as often as I'd like to, but, man, I do love that lake, and it is one of the finest fishing holes I've ever seen in Maryland, or just about anywhere, quite frankly.
Yeah, the diversity of the fishing opportunities there is just incredible.
It is. You got warm water fish. You've got temperate, I don't know what you call them.
Cool water fish.
Cool water fish. And then you got cold water fish.
Yeah.
Let's start at the cold water end. You've got an active trout fishery in Deep Creek Lake. How does that happen? How does that lake stay that cool for trout year-round?
Well, yesterday I went to work in the morning. It was 46 degrees.
Oh, that's how. Okay. Yeah.
But it does stratify in the summer. We have a cold water layer, especially in the northern end where it's deeper. It's about 72 feet there. And, it's ample cold water and oxygen to support trout year-round.
Is it spring-fed, or how does it – I guess it is. I mean, it would have to be somewhere.
Yeah, it's just the volume of the water.
Yeah.
It just never warms up completely
right.
In most normal years. But
And you have enough oxygen in all the strata to take care of the various species of fish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the trout do hang out near the thermocline where the
right.
temperature changes rapidly. There's a lot of oxygen, and anglers are on to that. They could have their fish finders now. They could see these trout suspended.
Mm-hmm.
And they could, use almost like a downrigger-type outfit and nail those things during
sure.
the summer.
Sure. I like fishing with a downrigger. That's a lot of fun. It's not been adapted to the bay here yet too much, but in the deeper waters, like some areas of Deep Creek and mostly the Great Lakes, the salmon in the Great Lakes stratify the same way. The salmon, the brown trout, the big steelhead and everything else, and you find the thermocline, and that's where you put your baits, and you just cover that whole thermocline And it's amazing to watch on the depth finder those fish up, down, along that strata there on the depth finder. It's absolutely amazing to watch that and see that volume of fish down there and yet not catch too many.
<Right. laughs>
But anyway, so tell me about the walleye fishery.
This year,
I love walleye.
Yeah, I love to eat them, too.
Oh,
they're the best.
Yeah.
Well, we go out in the early spring in April. It's during the spawning season when mm-hmm. the walleye come in shallow. And this year we had a catch rate of 284 adult walleye per hour of electrofishing. I mean, that was some serious netting.
284 fish an hour?
Yeah, it was just true.
I've never heard numbers like that. That's amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah, I'll say.
And, this 50-year-old man got quite tired netting fish. But, it was just an amazing catch rate. And the reproduction in the last, I'd say, 10 years has just been, year after year after year, has been really good. It's really showing up in the adult walleye population now.
I've had the opportunity to fish with John Mollican twice on the Potomac in March, April. That is a tremendous fishery there for walleye on the Potomac, but Deep Creek, I believe, it always has exceeded that fishery in the Potomac with its tremendous walleye fishing. Does Deep Creek still hold the state record?
I don't think so. I actually think it came out of Jennings Randolph Lake.
That's correct. Yes, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
It's not near many walleye in there, but when you do get one, it's a big one.
Yeah. I may have told you this story. I may have told our listeners this story. We were, my dad and I, when he was still alive, so this is back in the 80s, 90s, somewhere back in there, we were fishing there in the spring. It was the first day of trout season. It was April. It was the first day of trout season in Pennsylvania, and mm-hmm. we decided to take the boat and go to Deep Creek Lake rather than deal with the you know, shoulder to shoulder trout fishing.
Right.
We were bitten by the bug. Well, we fished and we fished and we fished. All we were trying to do was catch a smallmouth or something,
mm-hmm.
and we fished. And we wound up going into Johnny's Bait House now, which has changed names. But
right.
And there on the board, if you remember, he had a cutting board, a bait board, outside the shop there, mm-hmm. underneath the overhang. There was a walleye that was over 30 inches long.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, wow. And my dad said, wow, because we, you know, we fished in Canada for walleye that size. And, you know, we just both were impressed. And here comes two guys in a pickup truck, big jacked up pickup truck, West Virginia. And he pulled in. I said, did you catch this? He goes, yeah, what is that there kind of fish? I went, that's a walleye. He said, well, we was fishing for smallmouth. And he said, we put some hellbenders down, and we got into these things. And he said, we only managed to catch a couple of them because we broke off some bigger ones. And I went, oh my word. So, of course, we went in and invested in about $30 worth of hellbenders.
Right.
Yeah,
but, throw me a map, Briar.
Oh, man, it was crazy. So, but tell me about the walleye size limit there on Deep Creek Lake, in case anybody heads up that way.
Yeah, it's a 15-inch minimum size, and
right.
That's what you'll find. Most of the walleye that we collect is dolwins. They're in that 15 to 18-inch range.
Right.
But you do, as you said, you get these larger females in up to about 30 inches or so.
Right.
And boy, that's once they get that size, I mean, as you said, they're just a...
Oh, that's a 9-10 pound fish at least. And, you know, is there a slot limit like there is during the spawning season on the Potomac?
No, but we do have a closed season in early spring, and that's to protect those big females because they're very easy to catch right after ice out
right.
up until about the time they start spawning. They just want to go on the feed.
Sure.
Once the ice is off the lake, and, you know, I've seen, you know, been out in that early season. That's when you can really catch those big females.
Sure.
And now you have to release them during that season, and that's why we're seeing such good reproduction year after year consistently.
Sure. Good management yields good results, that's
right.
For sure. So you did this survey in 2014, this population survey. Of course, walleyes were a big part of that. So mm-hmm. What else did you find?
Well, then later on in the season, we go out in June when we get more of the warm water and cool water fish species up closer to shore, and we have 20-some stations. We look at different habitats throughout the lake because the lake is diverse in habitat. You got areas that are steep-sided with boulders, and
yep.
You got the shallow southern end, you know, more aquatic vegetation, which harbors the largemouth bass,
right.
Bluegills. But the thing that really stood out, we had a relatively recent change in yellow perch regulations, where we set a creel limit for 10 fish. And each one of those 20 stations, which is different habitat, all has yellow perch 12 inches or greater.
Oh,
that is incredible.
That is amazing. Absolutely
yeah.
Amazing.
So, I mean, that's I think, bar none, that's probably the best perch fishery we have in the state.
Okay, so we've got 20 different species of fish in Deep Creek Lake, and most of them are game fish.
Mm-hmm.
You got the... To my recollection, you don't have muskellunge in the lake.
No, we have...
But you do have big northern pike.
Big northern pike, yeah.
Chain pickerel.
Lots of chain pickerel.
Walleye.
Yellow perch.
Largemouth, smallmouth.
Mm-hmm.
Rainbow.
Right.
Brown.
Right.
Brook.
Occasionally, in some of the feeder streams, I've actually caught brook trout in Deep Creek Lake at the mouth of some of these... tributary streams.
Okay. So I'm up to about 10. Rock bass.
Lots of rock bass.
Black crappie.
Yes.
Any white crappie?
I believe I collected like one or two over the years, but you can't expect to catch them.
Okay. What am I missing?
Bluegills.
Oh, bluegills.
And that's the one.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're...
Those are saucer-sized bluegills out there in Deep Creek, that's for sure. They're not saucer size. They're dinner plate size.
Dinner plate size.
Yeah.
And again, this year what struck me were pumpkin seeds. Pumpkin seeds actually, about the size of the bluegills in there this year, and lots of them.
Really?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Man, I'm going to have to get up there now. You're just talking my language. There's nothing like drifting a night crawler bouncing along the bottom in Deep Creek Lake, McHenry Cove, and just whatever bites.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to catch.
You never know what you're going to catch. Okay, what else am I missing?
Then you miss on some of the forage fish species. Now, we'll find, you know, a lot of golden shiners in
yeah,
there.
A lot of shiners, okay.
White suckers.
Yeah.
Then we got, you know, some of the, we even have darter species in there.
Okay. So that's the kind of stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, we look at everything.
Yeah, so the forage are that create these huge northern pike and walleye as your golden shiners and your white suckers, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's perfect. Sounds like perfect habitat for just about any kind of game fish we want to have here in Maryland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. It's just, you know, as I said, the variety of habitat that we have there, just the volume of the lake, it really is a gem.
Do you like fishing in the spring or the fall better?
I'll tell you what, fall fishing is the best. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have as many people out there who are out chasing deer for the most part.
Right, right.
But I tell you, you get those warm days in November, and I just like launching a canoe in McHenry Cove for yellow perch, bluegills. I mean, they're all in shallow, and they're feeding like gangbusters before the onset of winter. And a lot of people just don't realize how good the fishing is in November, especially when you get those nice warm days.
I go back to this story on Deep Creek about the variety of fish. Another day, Dad and I were down, and we had some event we had to get to. I think this was in June, and we stopped there at the Route 219 bridge. There used to be a grass bed off to the right there. I don't know if there still is or not. We put the boat in there, and we didn't go anywhere. We just sat there on the edge of the grass bed, and we had fished most of the day and hadn't caught too much. We had a bucket full of minnows and, you know, and whatever. We sat there on the edge of that grass bed, on the outside edge of that grass bed, and caught just about everything in Deep Creek Lake. The chain pickerel, my biggest was 20, biggest one I ever caught, 24-inch chain pickerel right there was nice. 10.5-inch rock bass.
Wow.
14.5-inch black crappie.
Nice.
Smallmouth. Walleye. Yellow perch. I mean, it was just it was one of those days.
Right.
You know? And it's like, man, we're almost out of minnows. I hate to go, but we have to go. And we did, you know. But it was like, man, this is the best fishing. So very, very memorable day. And memorable times on Deep Creek. See, I used to live up there. We used to live in Berlin, Pennsylvania, which was only a hop, skip, and a jump away from Deep Creek. So,
right, yeah.
So it was nothing to take the boat and, you know, trailer it down over the mountain and launch it. So we had we did that on a fairly frequent basis. So. But, yeah, I love that place.
When you talk about those grass beds, it's the wild celery. It's like a blade-like thing that grows maybe 10 feet from the bottom.
Yep.
And we go out in the fall and do our sampling. I say it's like a tropical rainforest as far as diversity in numbers. When you electrofish over those grass beds, it's just incredible the amount of fish and all different species that are found in those aquatic vegetation beds.
I'm coming out there with my number 9 gold Rapal on surface and fish on the surface. I'm coming. I'll be there this fall. Count on it. You'll be getting a phone call.
I'll be happy.
All right. Hang in there. We're going to take a short break.
Okay, man.
All right, Alan. Hey, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. If you need it for hunting or fishing, they've got it. They've got all the fish and tackle and live bait and crabbing supplies and crab traps. And if you're going crabbing or you're going fishing, well, stop by Clyde Sports Shop before you go. Find out where they're catching them, what they're catching. They've got free advice on all that stuff and everything you need to make your trip successful. You need some topless crab traps. You want some trot line. All that. They've got it. They've got the bait to go with it if you're going crabbing, if you're going fishing, and if you're getting ready for hunting season, too. Don't forget about the great bows and arrows from Parker and G5 and the Kodabo crossbows. They've got all that at Clyde Sports Shop and the finest line of firearms in Baltimore. That number is 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. For Clyde Sports Shop at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway. Exit number 9, and for fishermen, the fishing hotline is 247-FISH, 410-247-3474, or 247-FISH. Now, this is Chesapeake Outdoors. Another shop, similar to Clyde's, a little bit bigger in square footage, but first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. That's right. Chesapeake Outdoors is located on Kent Island, Route 50 East, Exit 39B. That's Dominion Road. Now, if you go in there, you're going to see, as soon as you walk in the door, you're going to see, you know, the wall of trophies in front of you. You'll see the firearms. And then off to the right is the clothing and archery section. And off to the left is the fishing and crabbing section. Depending on your interest is the way you're going to turn when you go in the door. If you like crabbing and fishing, you go to the left. You can see all the rods and reels and line and tackle and fishing lures and everything you need for any type of fishing. All the crabbing supplies are right there on your left-hand side, the big pots. If you have a, you know, if you have a waterfront property and you want to put a pot off your dock, you can find it right there. Or the little smaller crab traps and trot lines, and they even carry the white boots if you want to pretend you're a crabber. If you go to the right, you're going to find all the archery stuff, all the broadheads, all the accessories, all the silencers, or silencers, well, kind of, I meant to say something like sights and, you know, rest and things like that, the Matthews bows, the Mission crossbows, the Parker bows and crossbows, the Barnett crossbows, the Excalibur crossbows, and even the new Carbon Express crossbows and all the accessories. And a little further off to the right, you're going to find all the great waterfowl and hunting clothing that they've got there at Chesapeake Outdoors. That's just a little tour store, but you can do it yourself at Route 50 East, 39B Dominion Road at Chesapeake Outdoors. And if you have any questions, the staff will be more than glad to direct you. And don't forget, they got the great line of Bubba Blade knives, which makes a great gift for your favorite Radio Outdoors show host. What? I threw that in and you caught it, right? I saw you rolling your eyes in there, Noah. I saw you. All right. Route 50 East, 39B Dominion Road, Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500.
It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the new Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the mid-bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
It's your chance to sound off on local, national, and international developments from 9 to noon on the Tom Marr Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Bet you're going fishing all of the time. Baby, going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife is gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. With my pole and my line, I'm a going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing, and my baby going fishing too.
That was the first song I sang to my grandson as I held him in my arms shortly after his birth. I know I've said it. I'm saying it again. Because I like it, because I had lunch with him yesterday. And he's 14 years old, and he's almost ready to take on a full-size rifle and shotgun. And we've had that discussion. He's getting tall, and voice is getting deeper, and one of those deals. He's 14. No, he's not dating. Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Hey.
I digress.
I have a son, too, and he's 16 years old, and he's 6'5".
Yeah. Wow, he's handy to have around.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
That's why I know where Berlin is. He plays basketball up in Berlin from time to time.
Sure. Yeah. I never made the basketball team. I intramural, mm-hmm. but we were the junior intramural champions once we beat the seniors. So that mm-hmm. was pretty cool. Anyway, man, you're making me feel old, but. Catfish. We didn't talk about catfish in Deep Creek Lake.
Well, what we have in catfish are the bullheads.
Right.
Brown bullhead and yellow bullhead. And they are big and ugly.
And they taste good.
They do taste good.
Yeah.
A lot of people just overlook those fish. But, yeah, when you fillet those babies up and wrap them in cornmeal and deep fry them, oh, my goodness gracious.
Yep. Nothing like a good, and you know the water's so clean and so fresh. Anything out of there is going to taste good. I'm sure you even have carp in there.
There's a lot of carp in there, and right. people are actually starting to target those fish now. Because I mean, they get up to 20 pounds and 20 pound fish on the end of the rod.
Have you ever eaten carp?
I have not.
They're excellent.
Is that right?
They're bony, but they're excellent. They make excellent fish cakes, and I mean, if you can handle the bones, you can do a. They're an excellent tasting fish.
You know, I watched. Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmer.
Yeah.
And they featured carp one time, and the fellow was actually brining them and smoking them, and Andrew said, boy, this tastes like ham.
Mm-hmm. So, like ham. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, wow,
uh-huh.
ham.
I'll tell you another fish that's good out of there that would be good smoked, and that's the white sucker.
You okay?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. We used to, you know, back in the day on the some of the rivers up there in western Pennsylvania, we'd go in early in March and catch that sucker run.
Right.
You know, just that was the first. That was what you could fish for before trout season came in, and it was a very popular endeavor up there along the Juniata branches and that type of thing. And the Raystown branch, and in particular, and we would fish and catch those suckers, and some of the guys would take them and smoke them. We'd often just eat them right there on the bank. So
oh, cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Fun stuff. Okay, so let me give you this tip on catfish, too.
Okay.
When you catch some mm-hmm. and you want to skin them,
right.
take them into your sink in your basement or in your kitchen, turn the hot water on.
Okay.
Put the catfish in the hot water for a few seconds. It instantly kills the catfish, and it loosens the skin so that you can just kind of peel it like a banana. You don't have to fight with it to skin it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, so just throwing that out again for the listeners, because over the last 25 years or so, they've heard me say that too many times probably. But,
right.
But, you know, a good thing, you share it. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about How to fish Deep Creek Lake. Do you need a boat?
No. You know, I do not own a boat, and I catch plenty of fish from shore.
Okay.
And want to play, you spoke earlier about the 219 bridge and the angler access point there. It even has a bathroom now. You go there and have a restroom break.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a nice clean facility as well. But that spot for walleye, I mean, it just concentrates the fish. It's sort of a bottleneck where fish he'll swim through the main channel lake going into McHenry Cove.
Right.
And it's also the street lights from the 219 bridge in the evening. I mean, it really attracts the walleye to that spot. But, you know, I've caught, as you said, there's a weed bed right on along the shoreline there.
Yeah.
I've caught just about everything fishing from that shoreline.
That's cool. That's a good spot. That's always been a good spot. Lou Surgeon still around?
No.
No? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Lou had a bait shop down there across from the liquor store before leaving the main complex of Deep Creek. Up on the left, he had a bait store down there for a while called, I can't remember what it was. But Lou taught me how to fish for walleyes at night in Deep Creek. And he used, believe it or not, he used a June bug colored twister.
Okay.
Which is a purple with a blue and green flake in it. And caught a lot of walleye at night on twister tails.
Oh, yeah.
And you think a dark-colored twister tail like that wouldn't be attractive, but it does work. So I don't know why. But anyway.
My favorite used to be just a grape-colored tube fish as a jig for walleye.
Yeah.
And they do work.
Oh, sure. Sure. Okay. So you can fish from shore, and you proved you can fish catch just about anything. You mentioned the south end for the trout?
North end
for the trout. My apologies. And that does kind of require a boat, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's not. But in the fall, you could fish from shore because the trout, November.
Yeah.
Make attempts at spawning runs, and one of the best tributary streams is Cherry Creek on State Park Road.
Okay.
And the brown trout and rainbows will ascend that stream. That you know, if they have an instinct, they want to reproduce.
Sure.
So they'll go up that stream. But the neatest thing, I actually survey a station on Cherry Creek every year. And in a 75-meter station, I remember this because it's easy to remember, I collected 75 trout. And while we were working these fish out, weighing and measuring them, it was like a salmon run. There were trout coming up out of the lake over the shallow riffle with their backs out of the water.
Wow.
Getting up into the station. But people are on to that now because the fish will stage in these Cherry Creek Cove and any small tributary stream you'll find, they'll try and make a spawning run up it. And you'll see some big trout because, you know, they live year-round in there. And
sure. Yeah. I don't know if they still have those mounted fish up there in the tackle shop or not, but there have been some pretty tremendous trout come out of that area.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Johnny's Bait House collection ended up over at the Deep Creek Lake State Park Discovery Center.
Ah, okay.
So you can still see them over there.
Good,
I think there's still a few up at Bill's Outdoor Center as
Right. And Bill's Outdoor Center is one of the sponsors of the Maryland Fishing Challenge, so we don't mind talking about them a little bit. So.
Yeah, that's your one-stop destination if you need to get any bait, tackle,
sure.
Fishing.
Yep. Good deal. Okay. What are the regulations for fishing at night?
It's 24/7.
24/7. No problem. Take your boat out there as long as you have your proper navigational lights and everything, and just try to stay safe.
Right.
Out there. Of course, in a summer weekend, you take your life into your own hands.
And that's why you want to fish in the evenings or early mornings up to about 10 a.m.
Yeah,
and that's the best fish.
before all the tourists and partygoers wake up and get rolling on the lake throughout the middle of the day. Huh?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, day after Labor Day, I mean, it's like, wow.
It's
a lot of change.
In other words, thank God they're all gone. Huh? That's pretty funny. Yeah. So, all right. Well, look, let's talk a little bit about trout fishing.
Okay.
All right.
That's my favorite.
I knew that. So you've got abundant trout fishing in the region, not just Deep Creek Lake. Tell us a little bit about some of the waterways up there that the guys can access and where they want to go if they love to fish for trout.
Okay. I'd say our best premier wild trout fisheries, bar none, the Savage River tailwater below Savage River Reservoir. Last year's population assessment showed over 1,000 adult trout per mile, which is incredible. And it's a mix of brown trout and brook trout, with some rainbows in there that, you know, actually come over the dam breast during high flows or swim up from the North Branch Potomac. And even an occasional cutthroat trout is caught in there. I believe last year we collected 2 cutthroats from fingerling stockings in the North Branch from 3 years prior. Hmm. But it's just tremendous and great fishery.
What's the one of the regulations for fishing? Is it artificials, catch and release?
Yes, it's called the trophy trout area.
Okay.
You can harvest one brown trout over 18 inches, and brook trout has to be 12 inches. And it's a 2-fish daily creel limit. But most people fish there, and it's all de facto catch and release.
Right.
That type of angler. And rainbow trout actually can harvest any size because we really don't manage for them.
Right.
And there's a fly fishing only section,
mm-hmm.
and then the lower half is you could use artificial lures with a single hook on it.
Single hook, yeah. You don't want the treble hook inline spinner, so.
Right.
I got you. Okay. I actually caught a rainbow trout down near Springfield, West Virginia, in the North Branch of Potomac when I was about 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, "What is that?" I said, "That's a rainbow trout. Where'd that come from?" Probably Wardensville. Probably washed in from Lost River or something. Who knows? But
yeah, they'll travel.
No, yeah, no question about it. So, but okay. So that's the primo, world class fishing right there. Seriously, folks, that's world class fishing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to go to Montana to have that type of fishing. You can go 3 hours west of Baltimore and have world class trout fishing right there on the Savage River. Yeah, exactly. All right, tell us about the Yaukagany.
Now that's my favorite. I live on the Yaukagany, and I actually been hitting that pretty hard here this summer because we have, as I said, it was 46 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, morning. No kidding.
So we've had a lot of rain and cool weather, so the trout fishing has really been good this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And the spot I like fishing is the catch and release area. It's downstream of the Deep Creek Lake hydroelectric plant.
Mm-hmm.
When they generate electricity, they take water out of the bottom of Deep Creek Lake, so it's cold water. And part of their permit, during very hot days, when the temperature might get too warm in the river, they'll release for 2 hours just to cool the river down for the trout. But this year, right at evening, there's good hatches of mayflies and caddisflies last hour daylight, and it is on fire. One evening, I caught 28 trout this month, which is kind of unusual for July. And but most evenings, I'll easily catch a dozen rainbow and brown trout down there on dry flies. But
did you see this? Did you see the news about this mayfly hatch in where was it? Michigan. Where there were so many mayflies that hatched that it was actually available on weather radar.
Right.
And it reminds me of what used to be called the White Miller Hatch, up on the Potomac.
Potomac, yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, and it's just a huge mayfly hatch, and if you're out there with any kind of white or off-white fly. You can just load up on smallmouth,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds to me like you got a good hatch up there on the Yauk right now too. Are you a fly fisherman?
Oh yeah, that's what I do mostly.
Okay, so
and I keep it simple.
Yeah,
there's a fly called the elk hair caddis.
Yep,
easy to tie and catches. I mean, it sort of imitates everything.
Right.
And it's easily visible too. Again, once you turn 50, I don't know if you're 50 yet, but your eyesight sort of goes. I need something I could see on the water, and those elk hair caddis have a high profile.
Alan, 50's a long time in a rearview mirror. Long time, brother. And I know what you mean about the vision going down, especially that, that dusk type,
Oh, yeah.
You look down out of your tree stand, and you see movement, and you go, is that a deer or a stump? What is that? So, yeah, I know what you're talking about. All right, we're going to take another break, and we'll be right back with you.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. I know what I want to talk about. I want to talk about sweet corn and tomatoes. Yes, indeed. Summer is the time for picnics and get-togethers at the church and family get-togethers and camping trips, and summer is corn on the cob. my favorite. Steamed crabs, fresh tomatoes. Summer is cold, juicy watermelons. Oh, my goodness. Eat it at night. You won't sleep well. The Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm likes to steam their crabs with corn on the cob for a great family dinner. Now, they don't sell crabs, but they get them and they like them. And what they have is corn on the cob. So they put the corn on cob on top of the crabs in the steamer, and they put crab seasoning on everything. And you imagine hot corn with crab spice. Oh, my. If you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn is where to go get your produce. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty, super sweet corn. I'm telling you, I've had corn twice this year, and nothing like Papa John's. It's the difference between what people eat and what cattle eat. I would just as soon pay twice the money to go and get corn on the cob from Papa John's farm than anywhere else. Their homegrown tomatoes are spectacular. There's squash and zucchini, peppers, onions, green beans, cucumbers, mouthwatering cantaloupes, and those sweet watermelons. Papa John's Farm, located off I-97, exit 12, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. That phone number, 410-969-8810. Call them up if you want to, have a big old corn boil at your church. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number again, 410-969-8810. Schillinger, Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
Have some clouds moving through this morning. We'll set the stage for some sunshine later this afternoon and a pop-up shower at 88. A stray thunderstorm here this evening with a few clouds tonight, a low 71. Increasing rain chances for tomorrow, and a few of those storms could be strong to severe, 84. Richard Wettig at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, it's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. And there's 20 species of fish, almost, but at least a dozen up in Deep Creek Lake that will qualify for a citation. Now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. But let's talk about Diamond Jim. He's a tagged rockfish worth $20,000 or more, swimming in the Chesapeake Bay just waiting to take your bait. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but even they're worth $500. You catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, you call that number on the tag, you might just have captured a $20,000 prize. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or even a crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify for the Angler's Award. You can win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check out the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Now that home values are creeping higher again, more homeowners are tapping their home equity to pay for things like renovations and vacations or to pay off credit card balances. That can be a savvy move because the interest rates on home equity products are often lower than on other loans, but it also poses some significant risks. If housing prices drop, you could end up owing more on your property than you'd be able to sell it for in a pinch, the old underwater loan. That happened to a lot of homeowners at the height of the financial crisis, and it was a major factor in the big spike in foreclosures. Many lenders are now allowing homeowners to borrow a greater amount of their home's value, which could put them at risk, even if home values drop by a relatively small amount. But if you use the money wisely, the home equity loan or line of credit can be helpful. Homeowners who use the funds to upgrade their kitchen or build an additional bedroom can end up with a house that is worth more, even after accounting for borrowing costs. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
WCBM Baltimore.
TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Yes, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features are not available in all states. In the first 3 months of this year, over 126,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,078 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
Your favorite talk radio station is now on your iPhone. Go to the App Store and download the new WCBM app. Listen to your favorite host or program. Stimulating talk, breaking news, now on your iPhone.
Fishing worms, fishing worms. Everybody's wishing they had fishing worms. Find them in the garden, turn over a rock. Slip them in your sandwich, put them in your sock. That's fishing worms, fishing worms.
Well, my all right, back with Alan Klotz from Deep Creek Lake, Western Maryland. Region 1, Inland Fisheries Manager. That means you're the head guy up there, huh?
Yes, I am.
Yep, good for you. I just got a text from somebody here that talked about jagging me for turning 60, but he said you had some great deer hunting stories with your son. Any idea who that was that texted me?
No.
Oh.
Might be John Mulliken.
No. A little higher up the food chain.
Is that right?
Yeah, but that's all right. All right. So Where were we? We were talking about trout fishing. Yeah, trout fishing,
yeah,
and that's
talked about the yak and the savage. And
yeah.
One other I'd like to talk about that. You talked about the western United States.
Yes.
We have the North Branch Potomac River.
Right.
Which is, it's an opportunity people really need to take advantage of. It's a big river, and there's, you know, float fishing guide opportunities.
Right.
And we talked about the Grand Slam earlier, where you could catch a brook trout, a brown trout, a rainbow trout, and a cutthroat trout.
Wow.
On one day. And it's happening here in Maryland.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of the local guys. He actually was my previous boss, Ken Pavel.
Yeah, I knew Ken.
Yeah, sure. And he's routinely, you know, taking clients down that section of the North Branch below Jennings Randolph Lake, the tailwater, and, you know, and having these guys get the grand slam of fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy, but it's happening. And just the interest in the cutthroat trout or hatchery division, they're going to start raising some more fingerlings next year.
How big are the cutthroat? How big do they get?
They're getting up to 14 inches right now. I mean, that's the average size to catch them. And this is from a stocking about 3 years ago.
Wow.
In North Branch.
So yeah. Now, cutthroat get, from what I understand, they get pretty good size.
Yes, yes.
And they're kind of like a, they're similar to in appearance to a rainbow, are they not?
They are. They're just actually the same genus.
Right.
But you could, I mean, they had an obvious cutthroat, that orange pigmentation.
Yeah, that the orange one, yeah.
And they're more fine spotted with black spots, but they have this golden color to them as opposed to the rainbow,
right,
silvery,
right,
color.
Mm-hmm.
So,
beautiful.
And they're easy to catch. I mean, the last one I caught was actually in the Savage River. And I missed them 3 times.
Wow.
He kept coming back for more. So I ended up catching them. And Ken tells me the same thing. But, yeah, if you miss them, just put a fly right back
out. Right back out there. I'll have to practice my fly casting. I'm not that good at it. But I don't know if you know Dale Weinrich, but Dale got me into fly fishing for the hickory shad.
Oh, cool.
And so, you know, I've got that little fingernail's worth of experience, so you know we can fake it anyway. Right out there. So.
Most people I take out for the first time, they end up catching the trout. I mean, people think fly fishing is very difficult, and it's not.
It's not that difficult. It's people tend to put more effort into the cast than they actually need to.
Exactly.
You know, it's all in the motion.
Mm-hmm.
But. Anyway, that being said, good. So let's kind of review here for the last few minutes. We've got a ginormous walleye fishery in Deep Creek Lake.
Yes.
Most of the fish you catch are going to be legal size.
Yes.
And there are some access points from land to fish those. You don't necessarily need a boat, but it certainly makes it a little easier if you want to deal with a boat.
Right.
The Route 219 bridge has an angler's access point.
Right.
What is there as far as facilities other than a restroom?
That's it. I mean, it's parking lot and the restroom.
Parking lot and a restroom. You just walk down to the bank and start fishing.
Yeah. And again, in the evening when it's best walleye fishing, it's well lighted because of the 219 Bridge Light.
Yeah, the 219 Bridge. Yeah, I actually went up there one day. I was doing something up there in probably February or March, and there was still snow on the ground, and I took the fishing rod up, and I just said, I must be an idiot. And I put a leadhead jig on, and I had maybe a dozen minnows with me, and I sat there, and I tossed them out there under that deep under that Route 219 bridge and did catch walleye right there. So that was a lot of fun. Just like middle of the day, whatever, take a break, you know.
All right.
Okay. So we didn't talk much about the largemouth and smallmouth bass fishery. Let's touch on that just a little bit.
Okay, I'd like to. We had a big fish kill, you may recall, back in 2010.
I do remember, yes.
And the largemouth bass rates, catch rates in the tournaments really went down after that. Even though they, you know, doing the fish kill surveys, they were not well represented in dead fish, but I definitely think they were affected.
Okay.
But this year...
What caused the kill?
It was... that year we had extremely high temperatures, summer temperatures, and the water, especially in the southern end of the lake where the largemouth prefer, it was well over 80 degrees.
So the dissolved oxygen was depleted.
Right, and the fish were just stressed.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
They were really just stressed.
Did you have a big thunderstorm when that fish kill hit?
No.
No, okay.
No, it was just very, very
Sometimes you'll get a pulse, you know.
Right.
But, okay, so... The largemouth were affected, but now...
But now, in our surveys this spring, you know, we really start seeing a lot more. We did stock, in 2011, 10,000 fingerling largemouth in there. So they should have grown up, you know, catchable size within, 2 years, 3 years.
Right.
So this spring sampling, they really start showing up again in numbers and good size. But the best thing was when we checked in an open bass tournament at a weigh-in in June, once again, they made up the majority of the catch. Most people were limiting out, and you know, mostly all the bass. I was looking at data just the other day. Were over 15 inches, 15 to 20 inch largemouth bass, in very good condition.
Yeah. Now you got some dynamite smallmouth fishing up there too.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of smallmouth. Again, if I have to pick, if we're going to come up here, the month of May for smallmouth.
Yes, I've heard that.
Oh, it's just incredible.
Yeah, I've heard mid-April through mid-May is just the time.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they're coming in shallow. Yeah, and they're explosive. Topwater lures. Again, I'm a fly fisherman. I like big streamers, and it's amazing fishing for smallmouth in here.
Let me ask you this question. If I recall, you talked about the deep water with the boulder shorelines in it, you know, that section of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fish that?
You target, for smallmouth bass, you target those boulders.
Okay.
They're really object-oriented fish. They
right, right.
Next to big boulders.
Yep.
You see a big boulder, put your lure or fly right over top of that boulder.
Yeah. But, I mean, the shoreline, I mean, it just drops right off right there. So you're saying that the fish cruise those areas, but there's no shallow spots in there. They just orient to the structure.
Yeah, as close to shore as you possibly get that lure, too, when you're fishing from a boat.
Right.
You're just tossing inches in the shore and cranking it over those boulders.
Hmm. Okay, sounds exciting. All right, one more break, and then we'll get right back to you, and we'll wrap it up, Alan. Appreciate your time today. Let's talk about Chesapeake Outdoors just for a minute. Chesapeake Outdoors is located on Kent Island. They have everything you need for fishing and crabbing, of course. But if you're getting ready for bow season, let me give you a couple brand names here. The Parker Crossbows and Compound Bows, the Barnett Crossbows, the new Carbon Express Crossbows, and the Excalibur Crossbows. For vertical bows, they've and Mission Crossbows, too. I forgot about that. They carry Matthews, top brand Matthews, of course, and the Parker Compound Bows as well, among some others. So if you need a bow on the Eastern Shore, stop by Chesapeake Outdoors. They'll set the bow up for you. They'll accessorize it to whatever you need, and they have a large amount of accessories for your bow. To make your hunt better. Of course, live bait, frozen bait, all the stuff for fishing, the rods, reels, and tackle, the Bubba Blade knives, anything for crabbing. We don't want to shortchange them, but they just have so much stuff that it would take more than 2 or 3 or 4 minutes to tell you about everything. So check it out for yourself. Route 50 East, exit 39B on Kent Island, just across the Bay Bridge. Check in with the friendly staff, and they'll direct you to where you need to make your purchase. 410-604-2500, 604-2500 is the phone number. Let me tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. If you need a firearm for home protection, personal protection, hunting or shotgun sports or shooting sports, Clyde Sports Shops has what you need. A full selection of handguns, shotguns, rifles, muzzle loaders, and all the ammunition and accessories that go with that. Everything for crabbing. A full, complete line of archery and crossbows, vertical bows and crossbows. Crossbows by Coda Bow. They carry the G5 bows. They carry the Parker line as well. Check them out, if you would, online at ClydeSportsShop.com or stop by 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. If you're a fisherman, anything and everything for fishing and crabbing, crab traps, crab pots, seasoning, you've got it. They have their own brand of seasoning, so you can check that out too. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit. Number 9, 410-242-6108, 242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop for fishermen. The hotline for fishing is 247-3474-247-FISH, Clyde Sports Shop. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, folks, we're out of time. The music is starting here underneath what we're saying, and we're talking to Alan Klotz from Western Maryland. And, Alan, thank you for sharing about the wonderful trout fishing and the great fishing at Deep Creek Lake.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Okay. And I promise I'm getting up there this fall.
I'm looking for you, man.
I'm coming. I got an itching to go fishing, so
great.
Deep Creek's going to scratch it for me.
Nice.
Thanks, Alan. You have a great weekend, buddy.
You too, man.
See ya.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, there goes Alan Klotz, and we got to say get out, stay out, and stay safe. And don't forget to join the Maryland Hunt.